Okay, so we saw the Gemara yesterday on the Chof base, Omid base. Let's have a look briefly at the beginning of the Gemara again. Somebody was in the middle of davening and he all of a sudden realized that he is a Balkari. Lo yastik, he should not just stop abruptly there and then. Rather, elo, he should continue, but he should say the remaining brachas, the brief version thereof. What happens if he's not in the middle of davening, but rather he was reading the Torah, and then the Nizkeshu Baal carries, once again he finds himself in the same situation that he should not have really begun, because that was the Takona, the Chatzkila Baal Keri should not say Kriyashma, should not be clear about Torah. So once again, Eile Mastik, you should not on the one hand stop Ba'oila and ascend from the Bima and leave. Elo Megamgein V'Koyer. So Rashi says Megamgein means you should say it quickly. Like we mentioned yesterday, we're not dealing with an Issa Deiraisa. Were it to be an Issa Deiraisa, obviously you just have to stop there and then. But it isn't. It's a Drabono. So the question becomes, how far did Chazal take this Takon? And the answer is, they gave you a compromise situation in which they said, on the one hand, do not stop, but on the other hand, try and speed up whatever you've got left. So in the case of Tfilah, you take the shortened version of the Bracha. In the case of Kriyas HaTorah, you just lay in quickly. Says the Gemara of Meir Oimer, we saw this yesterday as well, Ein Balkeri Rashoi Likred V'Torah, a Balkeri is not permitted to read in the Torah, Yosem Gimel Psukim. Now we saw yesterday that three Psukim is always considered the minimum amount for Kriyas HaTorah, so in our case it becomes the maximum. Do not read any more than three psukim. Three is what constitutes Kriyas HaTorah, and then he should stop. Says the Gemara, we saw this yesterday as well, this is what we left off with. Tanya is a chayoimed betzilah. What happens if somebody was in the middle of davening veroya, soya, kenegdoi, and he sees in front of him soya? Now, if it says veroa kenegdoi, we are not told any shiur. But it's mashma any shiur, even if it's very distant, but the maestah, he can see it. So then, the halacha is mahalech lefono. He should, instead of standing behind it, such that he can see it in front of him, he should walk in front of it, such that, actually, is rekenu l'achayrov, such that the tsoya is now thrown behind him, dalad amois. Says the Gemara, ay, v'hotanya litzdodim. We have another braisa that says that he doesn't need to go so far as to walk in front of it. It's enough just to go to the side of it. The main thing is the tzoya should not be in front of you. Says the Gemara loy kasha. That's not a difficulty. Hodo efsha, hodo loy efsha. One is where it is possible, and one is where it isn't. So we gave the example. Rashi explains if there's a river or a sea in front of him, so obviously he cannot now walk in front of the tzoya. He's going to end up in the water. So at least then you stand to the side of it. How far to the side? Dalad amos. But that's only b'di'eved because it's impossible to do the preferred option. What is the preferred option? To walk all the way, not to the side of it, but past it, walk in front of it. So now not only is it 4 amos away from you, but it's also behind you. It's out of your sight, you're out of your sight, your line of vision, and that way you should have. Says the Gemara, I think this is where we are up to. Hoyo mispalel. Another halacha. If somebody davened umotzo tsoyo bimkoimoi. Now, this is not the same as the last case. The last case, it was still possible to rectify the situation because he was just about to daven. Over here, we're talking about he has already davened, and it turns out that there was tsoyo bimkoimoi. Presumably that means, what does that mean, bimkoimoi? Within 4 amos of him, he didn't realize or for some reason didn't detect or didn't see the tsoya, but it turns out it was there. So the question now becomes, we've discussed until this point that you are not supposed to lechatchila daven when there's tsoya. So now the question needs to be asked, and what happens if you did? What happens if you do? So certainly that is considered a lack of kavod for the tefillah. The question is, what do you do after the event? Omar Rabbo. So Rabbo says, Afal pi shechoto, even though undoubtedly he has sinned. In what way has he sinned? The very fact that he governed in close proximity to the tzoyah, which obviously represents a lack of kavod for the tefillah and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, tfilosoi tfilah. But the tfilah does constitute a tfilah. You cannot say that he hasn't davened. Albeit, he davened in a forbidden manner. But at the end of the day, he did daven, and his tfilah constitutes a davening. Says the Gemara, maskiv le'rova. Rova attacks Rabbah, and he says, I don't understand. But we have a famous pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk tells us, "V'ho zevach rishoim to'evo." Literally translated, the sacrifice of the evil people is a to'evo, is an abomination in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that tefillah and korbonos are very closely related. One is keneged the other. Korbono is the avoido in the Beis Hamikdash, and our Shmoneh Esrei is our avoido, avoido shebaleiv. So just as a korban brought in a forbidden manner is considered unacceptable to the extent that it's referred to as a te'eva, as an abomination, so why would the same not apply also to the tefillah? How can you say that even though he sinned, but nonetheless, at least he davened? Yes, I know he davened, but he davened in a way that was totally forbidden, so I should consider that a te'eva. A te'eva. There's the Gemara, Elo Omar Rava, one of our favorite words. Elo, Elo is always a backtracking. Rava disagrees with Rava. Rava, that's with a hey at the end. He was the one who said that the tefillah is considered a tefillah, and Rava says, no, I disagree. Elo Omar Rava, hoil the chota, seeing as he has sinned, afal pi shehis palel, tfilosoi te'evo. Even though he has davened, I'm very sorry, that tefillah is considered a te'evo and is unsatisfactory. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell you, so what are you supposed to do about it? There's not much point crying over spilt milk. Now, if you look in the Gemara, at least in my version, do you have in your text, next to the word te'eva, a small star, which sends you to the margin? If you look in the margin, right, again, in my Gemara, it's right next to it, Nun Aleph, where the Gemara apparently is an alternative text, where the Gemara, in fact, adds four words. My takanta, do you have those words? My takanta, so what is the takana? What is the fix-up? You told me that the tefillah that he's davened is a te'eva. So, my takanta, how can you fix it up? The answer is, lahadeir, he has to once again, velitzli, he has to daven again. We cannot say that his tefillah is a tefillah. No, it isn't. Now, look at Tosfos. We're going to go a little bit backwards. Have a look at the second bottom Tosfos, not the very last one, the second to last. Afal pi she'spalel tfilosei te'evo, v'hava mu'uvas lo yuchal l'saki, which is the pasuk in Koheles, which the Gemara sometimes quotes, literally translated, mu'uvas. Something is broken, and lo yuchal l'saki, it cannot be fixed. The re perish, and the re explains the yachzer v'yispalel, but he should daven again. Now, according to the alternative girsa that we just read, it actually says that in the Gemara. So clearly the re did not have that girsa. The re had the girsa as we have it, without the additional words, and therefore the re is adding that the Gemara just tells us it's not a good tefillah, so what do you do about it? That the re says, well, it's a daven again. Now, go backwards, look at the Tosfos just prior to the one we learned, and we see a tremendous chidush. And Mr. Hashem will see in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah whether this holds true lahalacha. Tosfos says, "V'ho'zevach rishoim te'evo pirush ri." Now listen to this tremendous chidush. The dafka b'mokoyim shahoya yochoil lehistapik. We're only discussing, it can only be considered a te'evo if it is a place where he was able to doubt the liklois and concern himself sheyeshom tzoya, that there would be tzoya. So the Ri is telling us a tremendous chiddush. Even though the Gemara says that your tefillah is a te'evo, but that's only if you actually had grounds for concern, there was room to doubt that maybe there's tefillah. But if there was absolutely no grounds for concern, and it turns out completely unexpectedly there's tefillah, then your tefillah is not a te'evo. Now, if we were asking ourselves the question, where does the Ri get this chiddush from? So perhaps we would suggest, at the end of the day, why is his tefillah considered a te'eva? Because of the pasuk, zevach rasha'im te'eva. You can only consider him a rasha if he should have concerned himself, he should have checked first, and nonetheless didn't. But if you have absolutely no grounds for concern, imagine you are davening in a shul, not in a park. You're davening in a shul and you have never seen tzoya in a shul in your life, and unbeknown to you, you daven and then behind you there's tzoya. So the Ri would say, you cannot say about that person, zevach rasha'im, he's not a rasha. What's he supposed to do? Look up and down the shul, he's never ever seen tzoya there in his life. But presumably if you daven in a public place in a park, where there would be grounds for concern that there might be tzoya, so then it's inexcusable. So the fact that you just began davening without checking and then, oh wow, there's tzoya there, you can hardly say that that was an oinus. Which, of course, begs the question, and that's why this halacha is so negeh halacha l'maisa, like we mentioned yesterday, when you have young children, a baby in a diaper. So besides for the fact that a baby in a diaper is a separate issue because there the tzoya is covered, for the moment we're talking about when the tzoya is not covered, but put that aside for the moment, if somebody was daven at home, or if somebody would bench, and it turns out there was a young baby right there sitting at the table and there's tzoya, so now we need to ask ourselves the question, is this considered a case where there was or wasn't grounds for concern? And it's a mamash negeh halacha l'maisa. Because if we're going to conclude that there was grounds for concern, well then his benching or tefillah is considered a te'eva and has to bench again. So it would very much depend on circumstances. So, without going into all the various permutations, but presumably if the child has just been changed, the mother has just changed the diaper, and 2 minutes later you bench and it turns out there's tzoya again, so maybe then we can suggest that really is an oinus. Nobody has grounds for concern that after having just been changed and cleaned up, that 5 minutes later there'll once again be tzoya. But if he hasn't been checked for the last 2 or 3 hours and he finds tzoya, then maybe that is a rosh. Maybe that's a tzoyeva. Etc., etc., etc. So every case would l'chaira need to be judged on its merits. But you see that this principle of Tosfos is a tremendous chidush and makes things rather complicated. Because without Tosfos, what would we have said? The Gemara does not differentiate, and therefore, whenever there's tzoya, you just have to daven again, period. Straightforward. Tosfos is complicating matters, but as we suggested, we understand very well where Tosfos is coming from. You can hardly consider somebody as a rasha, and therefore his tefillah te'eva, if he had absolutely no good reason in the world to concern, to be possibly suspicious that there could be tefillah there. Which means that the rule of the Gemara now is no longer straightforward. It's not 100% true in all cases to say that if there was tefillah, you have to daven again. It depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. It depends on whether he had room for doubt or no room for doubt. This is a tremendous chiddush in Tosfos. Now, do you have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you? Maybe let's immediately have a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Aleph. Chelek Aleph. Have a look in Siman Pei Aleph. Have you heard the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Aleph? It's the second Sif base. And this is talking about Kriya Shema, not about Tefillah, but for the moment we're going to assume that there's no differentiation between Kriya Shema and Tefillah. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis, Pei Aleph Sif Beis, Hoya Koire. If somebody was reciting Kriya Shema, look immediately in the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Zayin. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? Vahu hadin im hoyo mispalel. And exactly the same would be true also if he was davening. In fact, the Gemara that we just learned is in fact talking about tefillah. So obviously you cannot say this halacha is specific to Kriya Shema. In fact, the Gemara is talking about tefillah. So in this halacha, there is no differentiation between Kriya Shema and tefillah. So back into the Shulchan Aruch. Hayakore, if somebody was reciting Kriya Shema, or as the Mishnah Berurah added, or davening, v'ra'a tzoya kenegdoi, and saw tzoya in front of him, yeleich kedei sheyizrekeno me'acharov arba amos. That is a word for word quote of the Gemara. He should walk such that the tzoya is now behind him at a distance of 4 amos. V'im i'esher, right, this was the distinction of the Gemara. If it is impossible, what does that mean? Kagoim, sheyesh lefonov nahor. For example, there was a river in front of him. Oy dovor acher, or something else, which is ma'akev, which is preventing him stepping in front of the tzoya. Then, yeleich kedei sheyanicheno letzodim. So then he doesn't need to go in front of the tzoya, such that it is 4 amos behind you, but rather he should go to the side of it. Ve'ein tzorech, now this we did not see, it's a chiddush of the Rashba. Ve'ein tzorech lachzoir elo lemokoim shepotak. He only needs to go back to the place that he stopped in. In other words, he's in the middle of davening, and all of a sudden he realizes, he sees this tzoya, so we tell him, move forward or move to the side. Okay, but once he resumes the davening now, where does he resume from? Does he have to go back to the beginning? Or does he not have to go back to the beginning? Now, let's press pause for a moment. The Gemara that we just learned really had two halves to it, but we have to connect the dots. The Gemara in the beginning said, if somebody was in the middle of davening and he sees tzoya, what does he do? He walks 4 amos in front of it, if it's not possible, to the side. Halacha number one. Halacha number two, if somebody completed his davening and saw there was tzoya, so we saw two opinions. The second opinion was Tfiloso Te'eva. Now, if that's the case, we have to go back now to halacha number one, because we suddenly realize that we've got unfinished business. What was halacha number one? You were in the middle of davening and you saw this tzoya, so you've got to move 4 amos to the side in front of... One moment. What about the part of davening that I have already davened? The Gemara did not discuss that. The Gemara just immediately went to a case of when I've already finished davening, and the Gemara says, Tfiloso Yitayevo. For one second, what happens when I was in the middle of davening? L'choira, the same halacha should apply. Which is that if you're in the middle of davening and there was tzoya, not only do you have to move away 4 hours, but l'choira, the bit of davening that you've done already, is a te'eva, and you'd have to repeat it. Now, when we saw in Tosfos that Tosfos says that what? That you only have to repeat davening if you actually had good reason to concern yourself. There was tzoya. So once again, let's now copy and paste that to halacha number one. You were in the middle of davening and you suddenly spot tzoya. So you've got to move away. Fine, I'll move away. Now, what do I do next? Do I just continue my Shmoneh Esra or do I have to go back? So in light of Tosfos, the answer should be, it depends. Did you have room for concern? Did you have good reason to suspect from the outset that there was tzoya? In which case, you'd have to go back to the beginning. And if it was a total surprise, then you can continue. So exactly what Tosfos said with regard to halacha number two, should essentially apply to halacha number one. There is no difference between halacha number one and halacha number two, other than in one case you've only said half of Shmoneh Esrei, in one case you've finished. Why should that make a difference? So if the Shulchan Aruch now says that if you're in the middle of davening, you see the tzoya, you should step in front of it or go to the side. But then he says, ve'ein tzorich lachzor elo lemokoyim shepotak. He only has to go back to the place that he stopped at. He does not have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. With a big question, why not? So continue reading the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ula Harav Rabbi Yoina. According to Rabbeinu Yoina, this was also the re-intasis. Im Hoya B'mokoyim. If it was in a place, Shahoya Loi Loseis Elivoi, where he should have had concern in his heart, sheyeshon tzoya, then indeed, tzorech lachzor l'roish. So yes, you're quite right. We are qualifying the statement that we just said. We just said that when you move 4 hours away, you just continue the Shmoneh Esrei, says the Shulchan Aruch, yes, but Rabbeinu Yoina tells us that if you are supposed to have been concerned that there might be tzoya, then indeed you cannot continue with your Shmoneh Esrei. And rather, you've in fact got to go all the way back. Now, before we see the Mishnah Brura, go back in the Shulchan Aruch to Siman Ayin Vav. Ayin Vav. If you go to Siman Ayin Vav, Sif Ches. Do you have the Shulchan Aruch? In my edition, it's on page 220. Now, there also, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about all the various halachas. By the way, this is going to be a lengthy sugya, and we're going to see some more coming up. But have a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Ches, the very last Sif in Siman Ayin Vav. Korah. If somebody recited Kriya Shema, b'mokoyim, in a place, she'ra'u lehistapik b'tzoya, where it was appropriate to doubt. That means there were grounds for concern that there might be tzoya. Umotza achakach, and guess what? After having recited Kriya Shema, his worst fears were confirmed. Yes, he found tzoya. And it was not a surprise, because it was a place where there was a suffix. Which, by the way, what does that in fact mean? Look at the Mishnah Berurah there in Sivkotan Chof Ches. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what does that mean? B'mokim shirol dahainu, b'mokim shemotsui shom ketanim, ukiyotze boy, or anything like that. That's the definition. That would be the definition of a mokim shirol lehistapik. For example, there's children. What does it mean, ukiyotze boy? I guess it means maybe there's animals there, for example. So it's not an altogether surprise. To the contrary, it's a place where you should have been concerned. So look back in the Shulchan Aruch. Korah b'mokim shiro is tafik b'tzoya u'motza achakas. Tzorich lachzor v'likrois. Then indeed, you've got to go back and read Kriya Shema all over again, because you cannot say that it was completely out of the blue. No, there was very good reason to concern there was tzoya, and in fact, it turns out that it was tzoya there. Avol, says the Shulchan Aruch, Avol im ein amokin ro'u le'istafik boy. But if indeed we're talking about a place where there was no grounds for concern, there are no children in this place, then ein tzorech lachzor v'likrois. Right, so imagine you're davening in shul, and it turns out, to your worst horror, that the guy behind you brought his one-year-old baby to davening. So that's a mokoyim she'ein ro'u lehistapik. Why on earth would I have thought that there'd be a one-year-old baby within my davadamas in shul? It's not a place where young babies come, at least they shouldn't be brought there. So then you do not need to come, then you do not need to go back. Look at the Mishnah Berurah there, Sivkotan Lamed. Why indeed you have to go back? The answer is the Zevach Rashoim Te'eva. That is the pasuk that our Gemara quoted, the Havalei Livdoik Hamokim. Because he should have checked the place. Again, because we're talking about a place where there is grounds for concern. Now this is, for example, extremely megay. I imagine you have a young ganenet. Right, she's running a kindergarten for one-year-old babies. And she wants to daven. So you cannot possibly say that that's a place where there's no room for concern. Of course there's grounds for concern. So if that particular kindergarten teacher wants to now daven, and she's got 20 kids there, so she has to check. Says the Mishnah Berurah there, well, Pashut, it's obvious to who are din, the same would be concerned, if the same would be true, im la'achar ha'tfila, if after davening, motzo shahoyu b'begodov oy min olov. What happens if you found tzoya on his clothes or on your shoes? Metunofin, v'yodeya, and you know that they have become dirty, because prior to davening you were b'mokoyim matunah. You went to a dirty place, going beis hakisei, b'chai gavna, b'mokoyim ho'ashpasayis, or in place of garbage dumps. Right, you've just gone through, walking through a very dirty beis hakisei, a bathroom, a rubbish dump. And then you daven, and at the end of davening, you suddenly see on your shoes there's tzoya. So what are you going to say? That's a total surprise? That's not a surprise. You just went through a place which has tzoya, so it's hardly a surprise at all that it's all over your shoe. V'loi shomar es atzmoi liyo es noki. And he did not guard himself to remain clean, but tzoya mishom when he left there. So obviously the tzorich lachzor. That would also be an example of a case we'd have to repeat Shemona Esra, the Pasha. because he is considered a Poshea. So those are the halachas in Ayin Vav. So now make your way back to Pei Aleph. Look in the Mishnah Brura, Pei Aleph, like we said in Sifkotan Tes. Sifkotan Tes. So he saw Tzoyah Kenegdo. You have the Mishnah Brura, Sifkotan Tes. Mairi, we are talking about Shehu Yoise Midalad Amois Mimokoim Shekolo Horeach. We're talking about he is more than four amos away from the place where the smell, the odor of the Toya ends. The I Hoya Batoich Dalad Amos, because if you are within Dalad Amos of the bad smell, then there will be no discussion. Then the Kula Alma, the most obvious thing in the world, Hoya Tzora Chalachta, the Roish, the Poshat, Hoya Loi Livdoik Mitzchila. Now, look at a big chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkotan Yud. We said you have to walk in the direction of the Tzoyah, bypass it, so that you're now standing four amos in front of the Tzoyah. Now, one second. The Shulchan Aruch, if you remember, was talking about Kriya Shema. The Mishnah Berurah added that the same would be for davening as well. Now, when you're saying Kriya Shema, you don't have to be facing in any particular direction. It's not like davening. When you're davening, you have to be facing towards Yerushalayim and the coastal Maron, the Beit HaMikdash. But when you're saying Kriya Shema, which is what we're talking about, you're allowed to change direction. In which case, L'chaira, we have a far simpler solution. Instead of walking all the way past the Tzoyah and now four amos in front of it, the Chori could just turn around 180 degrees. No problem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkotan Yud, Sheyizrakenon, Vehuadin, the same would be true, Sheyochol Lahachzir Ponov. He would be able to turn around his face, Letzad Ma'arov, towards the west. Until this point, presumably he's facing the east, which is definitely the normal direction. We don't have to. Kiven she'enoi oimeid b'tfilah Shmoneh Esrei. He's not standing in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. If you're standing in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, so obviously I can't tell him to switch direction. You've got to be pointing the same direction. So there you have to bypass the Tzoyah and stand in front of him. But if it's Kriya Shema, there's a much simpler solution, and that is simply turn around. Which therefore begs the question, that one second. We said before that if it's not possible to get four amas in front of it, for example, there's a river, then go to the side. But one second. I've got a new option for him. Just turn around. How can there exist a case of when it's impossible to be four amas in front of the Tzoyah? If we've just now learned that you could switch around, then that's always a possibility, L'chayu. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah discusses this in Sifkotan Yud Beis. Yud Beis, Lefanov Nahor, when you have a river in front of you, Umairi, and we're talking about She'enoi Yochoil Lahachzir Ponov Lamaro. We're talking about that he cannot turn around towards a west direction, Mipnei Eze Siba, for whatever reason. For some reason he can't turn around. Why not? I don't know. The Ilav Hochi, because if not so, then he's got no heter to go to the side. Rather, Yachzir Ponov. Yachzir Ponov. Now, one more Mishnah Berurah, well, this will finish. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch initially said that when you move, you just go back to wherever you left off from. And then the Shulchan Aruch quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Yoinah That's only if there was no grounds for concern. But if there was grounds for concern, then you've got to go all the way back to the beginning of Shemayin Esra. So really, or the beginning of Kriya Shema. So really, the Shulchan Aruch is bringing two opinions. The first opinion did not distinguish. The first opinion simply says that you simply resume your davening or your Kriya Shema, and you continue from where you left off. Rabbi Yoina is the one who makes that distinction about whether there was room for doubt or not room for doubt. So how do we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Yud Gimel actually brings a number of opinions. And if you look on the second bottom line, he says, "Umikol mokoyim," in the middle of the second bottom line, "Nira ledina nira the ein lahachmir b'di'eved." You do not need to be machmir b'di'eved. So halacha l'maisa, if you were within four amos, and that's what we saw in 7 Ayin Vav, then you definitely have to go back if you were in a place of kids. Over here we're talking about you are out of four amos. Nonetheless, it is in front of you. Two opinions whether you have to go back. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin, says in the Mishnah Berurah, you do not need to go back. Obviously, that does not mean that it was l'chatchila what he did, and therefore halacha l'maisa. If anybody goes on a Pesach Chol Hamoed Tiul, or you go on a greybeard trip to a park or a public place, and you're going to stop off to bench or to daven, then we'll have to check the vicinity, make sure that it's clean. But the Eved, if you davened and it turns out there was soil in the distance, not within four amas, you cannot smell it, and it's not in your close vicinity, then the Eved, you do not repeat davening. Okay, so hold it over here, and Be'ezus Hashem on Sunday we'll take this up.
Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Amen. How much is that? Do you have any thoughts of making greybeard trips once again, or it's still premature?
Yeah, actually, we have one planned.
Really? Wow.
The end of May to the Kinar.
Wow, good for you.
That's not a Shabbos, you know, usual Sunday through Tuesday, so.
Wow, you think they'll have a response? People will be happy to come again?
People are very interested, so.
I went last week with my wife actually to Netanya, Gali Sons. It was packed. We went for a couple of nights, it was actually packed.
Whoa, really? Yeah. People are just itching to get out, you know.
It's, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
We'll see you
Okay. Good Shabbos. Regards to the family. All the best. Okay.